Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
It's just memory lane as we're talking about some things that happened in the past and, you know, having, you know, an adult, you know, fatherless son on the on a phone and yet reaching out for the next generation. And it was so cool. A lot of them, you know, Derek was one of the boys that came on to, man, now he's a man. He's a man. And you can find him on the VFN Torch. You know, some of his segments are in highlights of him of sharing. But he's a father now and got kids and all that amazing stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he's got the same smile and all. He was, matter of fact, he was preaching. Mm-hmm. And another young man that was out there, he's a youth minister now. But then he was just a boy, but now he's a man, and he's a youth minister helping young people out and all. And there's all over the world. I remember when, you know, Amber was at IHOP Kansas City, the International House of Prayer, and she sat in a classroom, and she looked at the guy next door on the a seat or whatever, and he starts talking to her, and she realizes that he was one of the participants for the, during the 10-year period of going to the next step, you know, out by Father and Son Camp Trust that we call them. And
amazing.
And it's just touched the world. And you know what? You know, if you're thinking about, you know, is what you're doing for the Lord significant? Nothing you do for God is in vain. Not one thing that you do for Him is in vain.
That's right.
But realize the most effective things that you do, you know, for Him will be the most things that cause you to feel like it's insignificant, because, you know, society itself will make you feel that way. It'll make you feel like, you know, it's not good. And the truth is, it is good. Mm-hmm. It is good. And that's why the enemy's lying. He's a liar and he's a father of lies. Mm-hmm. So don't believe the lie. For example, when a kid says, hey, I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to hear any kind of wisdom. What they're really saying is like, my life's falling apart, and I don't want to humble myself, but I need everything that you're saying. Can you say it in a way where it looks like I'm not actually having to listen to you?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, you got to read between the rebellion, right? You know, you think about this, that, you know, we want to talk about in just a minute about what's happening with the United Nations and Iran and all, but take a moment here. Dr. Dobson, he spent his entire life, you know, dedicated to studying the family. When you think about it, I mean, his ministry is called Focus on the Family. I mean, he studied marriage, he studied children, he studied John. And, just joking. And, I mean, if you're going to get any wisdom on how to raise children, it would be from Dr. James Dobson.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You know? And you think, well, he's gonna, you know, I mean, raising kids, I mean, not just, you know, having tenants called kids in your home. I'm talking about raising kids.
Big difference.
It's a big difference. Mm-hmm. You know, when you raise corn, that means there is no corn. You plant the seed and you raise it. It comes out of the ground. It produces something. Mm-hmm. And it's productive. That's called raising corn, right?
Right.
And, you know, there's a big difference in raising children versus having tenants that you tolerate. And it's the hardest thing you'll ever do, because you love, you know, parents love their kids so much, you know. And I've heard some lies about society. You know, they say, you know, society's problem is because it's all because of parents. And it's like, well, really? How could it be that way? I know parents that have tried everything that they could try. You know, a single mother or a single father or double parents. Everybody has an individual will. You know, and they blamed all society's problems on bad parenting, which explained that person.
Yeah. to the T.
Anyway, and so, you know, you're seeking Dr. James Dobson. He's going to tell us how to raise teenagers, right?
Right.
Now, let's just go buy Dr. Dobson's book and get his DVD. He wrote a book called Bringing Up Boys. He talks about, he said he had this like 20-foot rope, you know, tied to a tree. This is probably something that you would have done, Pat.
Probably.
Yeah. But, and he tied it, and he's going to jump out of the tree, and he's going to swing it with this rope, this 20-foot rope. But the problem was the branch that he tied it to was only 10 foot away from the ground.
Oh my God.
Was a 10 foot differential there. And
obviously he wasn't melancholy. He didn't measure it first.
He didn't measure at all, you know. I think boys, so young boys, no matter their personality, that frontal lobe is very important. It needs to develop. Mm. You know, you think it, you know, anyway, so and so here's Dr. Dobson. You know, you're gonna find out what Dr. Dobson has to say. I mean, this is gonna be the secret, because obviously I must be doing everything wrong. And so I'm going to go talk to the man who studied them. And this is what Dr. Dobson said. I mean, this, all those years, John, everybody, and this is what Dr. Dobson says, right? He goes, the teenage years, just get through them.
Thank you.
Just get through them. I'm like, can you expound on that? Yeah, they really last longer than that sentence, you know, just get through them. You know, I think about this. You know, it doesn't say, the Bible does not tell us, you know, how old Satan was when he rebelled against God.
Hmm.
But I'm sure he was a teenager. Oh, my goodness. It's just real tough. You know, you're trying to find yourself as a teenager and you're trying to get your own, but you're frustrated because you're still, you know, a suckling on your parents', you know, substance. But then you're saying, I am my own. It's hard to put your foot down when it lands in your parents'. Oh, it's a tough transition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you have a father who loves you, you know, your father, and this is why the father's been emasculated and pulled out, but a father's going to say, well, it's just time for you to grow, boy. He was like,
that's right.
You'll figure it out. Go plant yourself in some dirt. Mm-hmm. You know, because he knows that the kid's going to have to kick in.
That's right.
But there's so many things interfering with the way fathers raise their kids today that, you know, what they call safety nets are destroying our children.
Huge.
You know, it would have been better for them to wallow in the mud a little bit, you know, and feed the pigs a little bit, you know, and the consequences of their decisions a little bit, than to run down there and give them a stimulus package so they could live in some place that kept them stuck in the mud, you know, for 10 years of their life. Right?
Yeah. You introduce them to two new friends, Sam and So Knight. Here you go.
Sam's
Sam and So Knight.
You're right. He's like, I'm leaving. Yes, baby, you're leaving. Well, your bags are already at the door. You know.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but you know, just helping somebody. That's what God does to us.
Sure.
And that's what God does to us. And it's like, but the devil has so many things into our nation's fabric. And I have a lot of theories about that, and I believe a lot of word of knowledge about that, but aren't talking about that much. But the it's all demonic when it comes time to anything interfering the way the father would raise his daughters and his sons, because God has innately put something inside that father or mother, you know, to be able to impart into them, you know, something that society that doesn't understand how God's designed us, that everything has to die first before it can become something. Everything has to, I mean, even the egg inside of a woman, there is no doorway. It has to fight its way out. There is no, I mean, there's pain. A woman has pain in the process of bringing forth a child. There's the brokenness of life and things that you just learn from that. But if you keep that away from somebody, they never learn. They just stay in this immature suckling state.
Yeah,
and the government just wants to be replace God. You know, one of the names for God is the breasty one.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, as you begin to cry out for God, provision comes from God, and the government wants to replace God and them to become the breasty one. Where,
right,
you know, if you need something, we'll provide for you. If you need medical, we'll provide for you. If you need provision, we'll provide for you. And all of a sudden, they don't cry out to God anymore.
Sure,
they cry out to government.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And it was okay to cry out to God.
Right.
You know, and that's how God's designed things. And, you know, a child will never grow up despite them being 50 if they never learn to cry out to God. They never learn to turn to God and cry out. They're just stuck.
Right.
And they've never seen the provision. You talk a mother, a breastfeeding mother, that she could be across her house from a whole different room. And as soon as that baby begins to cry, that God's designed the mother's body that instantly she will fill up with milk, ready to feed that baby. I mean, it just happens. Wow. And that, and so the baby gets frustrated sometimes and doesn't nurse. And so she gets frustrated and says, listen, I have provision for you. You're just going to have to line up. Mm. And that's how God is. It's like God's going, I'm the one that's giving you the air and the substance. You got to cry out to me, but you can't just get it any way you want it. This is how you receive substance from me. Mm. And the mother just gets more provision and more provision where she starts hurting because so much milk is dropped because the baby's crying produces provision in the mother. And listen, if you're, that's how God is. One of his names, one of the defined names of God, if you look at the definition, it means the breasty one, the provision of God, the substance of God. But you got to line up to get it. You can't just say, throw it over here in my well of rebellion. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to line up. If you're crying out to the right source, to God, you know, and going through the blood, which is Jesus's blood, and saying, listen, Lord, I need you. I mean, God's going to provide for you. But if you've provided for your kids every step of the way, now they're like 50, they've never got a chance to cry out to God and find out he's Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's such a strategy. You can see what how the enemy's using the government to take over the role of fathers, to take the role of family, take the role of God in all these different areas and saying, we'll take care of you.
And because of that different or even become a warped perception, those that begin to take their hands off and allow their young people, the children they've been raising, to grow up and become the men and the women. It's, you know, it's time to play the man. It's time to play the woman. It's time to do now. That could almost seem as if that was wrong to those people's eyes. How could you let them suffer? How could you let them suffer? Who in America suffers when you think about it?
Right.
You know, who in America really suffers? You have children that were working so hard so many years ago as young children. You know, even in my own family, my grandmother, I remember stories her telling as a child working on the farms. And it's like no one in America really can say that they truly suffer. We found out that we're in the richest percentile of the world. Mm-hmm. But it's through that suffering, it's through that going through, like you said, the pain, that we can actually learn. Yeah. But if we're looking back and looking for dependence upon a parent or anyone else but God, how are we going to make it?
And you look at the people. You look at the people that's accomplished anything. If you listen to their life story, it consists of them going through pain. They were willing to go through the pain of the process to be able to arrive. I have, you know, Tim Tebow's book sitting on my shelf, and to remember. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, Brett gave me a picture of Tim when he was praying for the Denver Broncos. Thank you, Brett. He's sitting there to remind me and have his DVD that, I mean, he didn't just happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's dragging tires, trees, pushing cars. I mean, he's aggressively going. I mean, he's got to be willing to tell himself no and tell himself yes at the right times and go through the process of all that. And we celebrate people who paid the price. But we complain when people are trying to encourage other people to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
How can you be trying to help me? You're having me drag a tire. Well, you said you wanted to be a Tim Tebow. You're going to have to drag a tire.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have to deny yourself. You know, it's like, oh, my goodness, I can't believe I'm going to have to deny myself. And it's the process.
Yeah. You know, they wrote a book called The Millionaire Next Door several years ago. And the whole idea was to study millionaires. And they wanted to find out, these marketers, these companies hired these marketers to find out, how does the average millionaire think in America? So they just took a person who had a net worth of about $1 million, and they realized some really interesting things that the average millionaire, the millionaire next door, was a person that actually worked very hard, didn't make this Hollywood money or whatever, this gobs amount of money. They lived below their means. They lived in a house that was below what they could actually afford. They drove American cars that, you know, their credit cards weren't, you know, American Express Black, you know what I mean? But they were actually, you know, just Visas or whatever. They had JCPenney cards and stuff like that. And so they started interviewing them. What they found out was one study was just about first generation people that came to the United States. They became so successful. And what they found out is that here's this working mom or dad who started a business here. They're working hard at their job. They rose the ranks. And now they've accumulated all this wealth. And yet they instead encourage their children to do the very same thing that they did. they started buying them cars and sending them to colleges and propping them with all this, you know, stuff, mm-hmm. thinking that that's how they're going to, you know, do well. And what they did was, you know, bring a dependent, you know, next generation. And so next generation right. is totally dependent on the parents that came on over, and is thinking, you know what, that's not how it needs to be. You know,
and now the government's saying, listen, as a matter of fact, you know, all the way up to the age 25 now, you can be on your parents' insurance policy. And it's like, he's married and he's got three kids and he's a soldier in Afghanistan. Why does he need to be, you know, right. that type of thing? It's like,
it's serious.
You're not grown up by 25? Come on.
Dude, it's half of 50.
Yeah, it's half of 50. And you look at our generations past, I mean, you know, that's half life.
Exactly.
You know, mm-hmm. and it's like, it's a strategy. It's a strategy for nobody to ever grow up, mm-hmm. nobody ever to cry out to God, and everybody to be kind of stuck in God not being the provider, but someone else being the provider for.
What's yeah, the scriptures say that the laborer's appetite works for him. It drives him on. It's nothing like being hungry and needing to work. You know what I'm saying?
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.